All right. This is very much what God has given us to fight every difficult event and every scenario we have on this earth. And it is our choice. If we have used what God has given us to fight every situation, we will prosper. You know, when John said, "Beloved, I wish that thou prosper and be of good health, as thy soul also prosper," that is exactly how our soul can prosper. That is how we can fight the good fight of faith. But whom are we fighting against? If you have a problem with a friend, a family member, if you have a problem with your neighbors at work and everywhere, whom are you fighting against? Absolutely, keep that in mind. Our war is not against flesh and blood, the Bible said in Ephesians 6. But it is against the principalities and the power of darkness in high places. All what the enemy is doing, he is using events, Sandra. He is using people of all kinds to see if he can disturb our relationship with God. To see if he can really steal our salvation. To see if he can really change and bring doubt instead of faith. To see if he can really darken our mind that we would not remember or believe the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he often comes in a very sly way through the media and the channels that he uses to see if he can alter the truth that we know into a lie. And of course, if our salvation is tempered with, and if the Word of God is not taking effect in our life, and if we have more doubts than faith, what kind of a life we're going to have? We will be able to go and share the gospel of peace with others? That is the last thing that we can ever think of. But we are going to be on a road of self-destruction. And in the process, because we were once believers who taught and preached the gospel, we were going to become a stumbling block to everyone that sees us. If we don't believe, and if we are not fighting for our own salvation with fear and trembling, and if we are talking and behaving and coveting everything like everybody else, why should others come to know our Savior? But if we are to fight the good fight of faith against Satan, we are to keep those things in our heart and mind always, that in every situation and in every event, good or evil in our lives, even when you watch the news, and you see the disturbing events in the world, it is all about our salvation and the salvation of those demolished by Satan. You got to see everything through the eye of salvation. Put the helmet of salvation, that's where the head is. Protect your mind. All of these events that is happening is designed to show us whether our mind is under the control of the Holy Spirit or is it under the spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan. And that is why we're so urged, let this mind in you, which was also, what? Jesus in Christ Jesus. Okay? So in every event, whether we succeed or whether we fail, whether we have or we have not, in every difficulty of life that God permits, it's all about our salvation from great harm and danger due to sin. Therefore, we should not be afraid, neither discouraged. When things go our way, praise God Almighty. Hopefully our salvation is being mature. When it doesn't go our way, it's also about our salvation. That is the mind that we need to have. It is our only purpose on earth to make sure through every blessing and through every difficult circumstances that our own salvation is being mature. And if our family members, loved ones and friends are also struggling and they don't know Jesus, keep this mind in you that you have the responsibility to pray for their salvation as you are praying for your very own. That is why God is allowing you to see it, to hear it, and to be part of it. It doesn't do us any good to keep talking negative about it. But it will do us and them great good if we are to pray for their salvation and ours, and it does work. And I'm going to be going through those four phases, how God intervenes, interrupts, to save and to restore when we have the helmet of salvation on, the shield of faith. Whenever we go through some difficult decision making and we are not sure about the outcome and we want the outcome to be in a certain way, and then we don't see those evidence coming so quickly, how is your faith? Are you doubting that the Word of God is true? Are you doubting that God will work all things for your good? Are you trying to push it your own way? Listen, God has given us the power of choice. If you're going to push it your own way, do not blame Him for why He did not save you. God has given us the power of choice. And He has given us all of these choices. If you are struggling with sin or struggling with the enemy in any events, why don't you come trusting your struggle to Jesus prior to your struggle? Maybe that will cause God to intervene and interrupt. And also will give you a bitter substitute that can be fulfilling. And then the breastplate of righteousness. As I said, your goal and my goal should never be to wish harm to anybody, including those who harm us. You have to have a righteous heart. Jesus came and suffered every agonizing, humiliating suffering for my sins. For my sins. He did not wish me dead for causing Him to suffer. He chose to die on my behalf. We have to have that righteous heart. That as we pray for other people, don't wish them ill. And don't do them any ill. Said, don't fight evil with evil, but fight evil with goodness. And you can always pray with a right heart. Lord, these are my feelings. I am upset. I am angry because of what just have happened. Because that is making me feel all of this negative feeling. But in my heart, O Lord, what I truly desire that these individuals really be changed in the heart so they would not harm themselves, harm me, or harm anybody else. Isn't that what you want? Or do you just want retaliation? Will that really solve the problem? Absolutely not. So you have to have the right heart with God. And this heart of righteousness never comes from us. Who is our righteousness?
Jesus.
And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, through Him, might become the righteousness of God. So have that heart that you always want to do right and not harm to anybody. Okay? Even when you struggle with sin, make sure that your goal is not to hurt somebody else. As a matter of fact, I pray always that my defects of character and my sins and my troubles on this earth never to be a cause of harm or hurt to anybody. I don't know how to do it. But Jesus knows how to do it. Because my goal is to live the best righteous life I know how under all circumstances. And His strength is always made strength in my weakness. So if I turn all things to Him, He knows how to fix things, okay?
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You know, when people ask you questions, when you're about to make decisions, doesn't that require knowledge? How are you sure you are making the right choice and decision for yourself or others?
By the Spirit. By the knowledge of the circumstances.
By the knowledge of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that tells us what is the right decision to make. Whether it's issues of the Sabbath day or whether it's the issues of any other issues in life. Even marriage. The Bible has the answer for everything. If you compromise with the enemy, who is going to win?
The enemy.
Absolutely. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word and thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever before me. You know, we go to the Word of God to know how to make decisions. We don't resort to argumentations and philosophy and he said and she said, he is my buddy, he is my friend, he is my relative. We don't make decisions this way. It is the sword of the Spirit that quenches all the darts of Satan. Satan is waiting for us to make a compromise with him. Isn't that true? But he never tells us exactly the end of the road. He let us see only what he wants us to see, as he did with Judas. But if Judas knew clearly that that will be his end, he would not have made that compromise with Satan. I have a gentleman who always talked to me about becoming a vegetarian. Okay, and he is a strong believer that that is the diet God has given and that is exactly what I must eat. And I would say, let us go to the Word of God to see if that's exactly what God has said. And we look at the Word of God, that is not what God has said. And what is ironic is this, all the people that comes to me with this path that try to block some of the truth in the Bible and to let the Bible say something it did not, they have serious internal conflicts. That actually they are driven much more by fear of everything rather than faith in God. And here's what is so ironic about that. That individual came to me about 5 months later, panicking. And I said, what's going on? He said, you know, I've done something. I need your opinion. I'm really worried about it. And I said, what did you do? He said, I went to eat out with my father and my brother. They don't know the Bible. They eat everything. And, you know, I also, they were eating squids and other things, and I had one squid. Yeah, you know, he's preaching to me about becoming a vegetarian. And that the Bible said that, and he's an adamant believer that that is the biblical diet. And then he goes and eats squid, and he was terrified. He asked if something is going to happen to him. And could I please pray with him over the matter? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The Bible is telling us, know the truth. The truth will set us free. Everything we test, not by the word of a pastor. You don't say Abraham said. You should know the word of God. Are you spending the time? Here's what he said. The time you are not spending in the word of God is the time that you will regret later on. Because you're going to be making decisions that will harm you. It is the word of God that helps us to quench all the darts of Satan. And I guarantee you, with all the Christians that are struggling, I often ask him, how much time do you spend in true prayer during the day? And what is ironic is this, all the people that comes to me with this path, that try to block some of the truth in the Bible, and to let the Bible say something it did not, they have serious internal conflicts. That actually they are driven much more by fear of everything rather than faith in God. And here's what is so ironic about that. That individual came to me about 5 months later, panicking. And I said, what's going on? He said, you know, I've done something. I need your opinion. I'm really worried about it. And I said, what did you do? He said, I went to eat out with my father and my brother. They don't know the Bible. They eat everything. And, you know, I also, they were eating squids and other things. And I had one squid. Yeah, you know, he's preaching to me about becoming a vegetarian. And that the Bible said that, and he's an adamant believer that that is the biblical diet. And then he goes and eats squid, and he was terrified. He asked if something is going to happen to him. And could I please pray with him over the matter? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The Bible is telling us, know the truth. The truth will set us free. Everything we test, not by the word of a pastor. You don't say Abraham said. You should know the word of God. As Eric said yesterday, if Abraham is not here, what do you know? Are you spending the time? Here's what he said. The time you are not spending in the word of God is the time that you will regret later on. Because you're going to be making decisions that will harm you. It is the word of God that helps us to quench all the darts of Satan. And I guarantee you, with all the Christians that are struggling, I often ask him, how much time do you spend in true prayer during the day? How much time do you consult the word of God every day? It's amazing. Even if you are a struggling sinner, when you spend time in devotion in the morning, many things are happening on your behalf that you cannot see. You are already conquering the enemy, Satan. You are already closing doors that the enemy is trying to open without you know it. And you know when temptation comes, the word of God will become alive. Like the two-edged sword to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thought and the spirit. Immediately when the enemy comes to try and tempt you, the Holy Spirit will come immediately to you know it. Give you discernment because you spend time with the sword of the Spirit. You know, if you try every day, just try the best you can and pray for that. That the Lord give you the helmet of salvation. To work your own salvation with fear and trembling and to pray for the salvation of everyone who may come your way. And for every event that unfolds before you. Keep that in mind. And if you exercise good and complete faith in Jesus, not in yourself, not in others, and not in things. And ask the Lord to guide you in that. That your faith be founded on nothing less but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Do not wish ill to anybody. Those who agree with you, those who disagree with you, those who love you, and those who hate you. If you want to see evidence and immediate powerful outcomes, don't wish anyone any harm. Wish everyone to be saved. But in the process also, as you pray for their salvation, ask the Lord to protect you from the sins of others. Okay? You can do that. He will become your shield and buckler, your high tower and your pavilion, your sanctuary, your God and your defender. And He said, anyone who shall rise against thee shall be ashamed and incensed. So as you pray for the salvation of all, ask the Lord to protect you from the sins of others. Okay? And ask the Word of God to guide you. If you don't know the Word of God, when you're about to make major decision, maybe you want to come and ask a brother and a sister who may know the Word of God. Pray for them. Say, Lord, I want to ask someone about that major decision. I have some knowledge. I don't have all the knowledge. I don't have all the experience. If there's anything hidden or any information that I need to know, I'm going to pray for this individual or that individual or both or three of them. I said, Lord, could you please allow the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart through them? The Bible said, in the multitudes of counselors, goals are established. So, we can always consult the Word of God directly or through God's people. Also, when you pray for those kind of decisions, you may get a dream or two. God may speak to you directly through dreams. May make you panic at night. Or it'll make you be joyous about a certain decision. And when the Lord wakes you up from that dream, it's time to pray. Because you have prayed and seek the Lord, now you find Him. Next slide, please. So very much tools for internal and external conflict resolution. The full armor of God, the truth with the sword of the spirit of truth, heart of righteousness, gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, and humble prayer in all things. Next one. And we have already studied the life of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, not a Jew, and yet he believed in Jesus and followed the full armor of God without knowing. He didn't know that he was following all of the principles of the armor of God. Cornelius heard and accepted the truth about life and wore the helmet of salvation to Jesus. He humbly prayed for forgiveness and self-surrendered. He lived God's love righteously. He walked and shared the gospel of peace with friends and relatives. He claimed God's word as the sword of the Spirit, and his shield of faith was firm and unwavering. He wore the full armor of God, and therefore he experienced miracles. He did not know all the theology that the disciples knew. He acted on his little faith and little truth, believed it, acted on it, and received a miracle. And that is exactly what God desires for us to experience every day. Miracles through faith and trust in His living Word. Truth, its power, and struggles. That is what we have been studying in the last 2 weeks. You know, most of us, if I asked you, do you want someone to lie to you? What are we going to say?
No.
Why not?
Because it would hurt us. But I'm going to be your... In certain situations, you might want to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn around and we don't call it black lie. It's a white lie.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it a good lie because we put white with it.
Like a lie is justified.
Yeah, it's usually actually... lies are always colorful. They don't come in certain color. They come in many colors. Okay? And lie is a lie. But do you like people to lie to you?
No.
Okay, because it can hurt you. Right?
Correct.
Let us say you want to travel to Sacramento. You never been to Sacramento. You didn't travel that far before. And you ask someone to give you direction.
You want the truth.
Do you want to end up in Santa Cruz? You want to end up in the boonies somewhere? And how would you feel about that individual who lied to you?
That person, oh man.
You don't like someone to give you wrong direction knowingly.
Especially on purpose.
Right? Yes. And you don't want someone to lie to you about the food you're eating. And you don't want someone to come in and tell you about borrowing some money from you to accomplish a certain task that he or she may imply to be holy. And you discover later that they use the money for drugs or alcohol or to subsidize something evil.
They went gambling with it.
Yeah, I went gambling with it. You don't like people to lie to you, right? All of us believe that the truth is the best way to live. But if I ask you, do you want to know the truth about yourself?
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
If you are making decisions in life, major decisions in life, do you really seek after truth?
Yeah, you should.
Or are you seeking about what you believe to be good for you?
No, the truth. Because the truth hurts.
It is very sad that even all of us hate lies. We choose to live in lies. Because it accommodates our desires. And we block everything and every gleams of truth that may cause us conviction. Jesus said, no, don't be afraid. You know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know there's lots of truth about God's love for us that we don't know. And it's unfortunate that most of us learned about the love of God in the wrong way. You know, I've seen kids who have such a close relationship with their parents. Very close relationship with their parents. That they are so free to say the most stupid thing. Knowing that the parents will hear it. And that the parents will be faithful enough to tell them how they feel. They know that the parents are not going to condemn them. You know why? Because when parents condemn the kids, they feel the condemnation themselves. That is loving parents. When they discipline and chastise the child, and I've seen some parents do that, I've seen them being very discreet and hard to save the child, yet I have seen them shedding lots of tears when they are praying for the child. So I don't know of any true loving parents, who wants to condemn a child. So if we can open our heart and mind, and I've seen and heard some of the most abrasive, immoral statements made from children and teens and young adults in front of their parents. And the parents did not get the knife out and did not slaughter them for what they say. They just allowed the kids to speak their heart out in front of them so they can hear them and then tell them in all love and in all concern, what do they think about their children? And Jesus said, if you parents who being evil and sinful know how to do good to your children, how be it your Father that are in heaven? I go with Jesus, to Jesus every day, with all of my desires, the right and the wrong desires. Because it is very safe to leave it there.
Amen.
It is very safe. He knows it already, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He knows it all. Why would I hide it from him? Because we learn that we can only talk to God about the good things. Because he is not going to listen to the bad things.
God knows everything.
He knows everything. But how many of us, when we go to the Lord, we tell him about our bad things? Or even our desires for bad things? It is safe because that is the only way it will change. Because we are not hiding it. The Bible said, he that hideth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth his sin shall prosper in life. And that's why the Bible said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have seen two types of Christians who handle the truth differently. And we have seen the very healthy way to seek truth and to live truth, and the very unhealthy way to reject truth and live a lie. And in John chapter 8, two types of believers. And we have seen last week one type of those believers. We have seen the woman who got caught in adultery. What happened to the rest of the church? No. The rest of the church, before they left, they went and caught her. And all of the priests and all of the Pharisees and the scribes and all of the church members had their high day. They all came together to prove that they are righteous, that they are truthful. And they grabbed that woman and threw her at the feet of Jesus. They were much more concerned of being right than doing right. And that is the difference between living a life of truth and living a life of lie. Many Christians, and I'm talking about Christians now, I'm not talking about non-believers in the world. Most Christians are living their Christian life trying to be right in the eyes of others, rather than doing right. That's why we have denominations. Everyone is defending his and her territory. And so they brought this woman in and they said, "All right, Lord Jesus." They were trying to find fault in the Son of God. What a life of lie they were living. And they said, "We caught this woman in the act, and according to the laws of Moses, she is to be stoned to death." By the way, I want to stop here. You know what the laws of Moses are?
I thought they were the Ten Commandments.
No, no, no. No, no, no. All right. I'm glad that I posed down here. The laws of Moses is not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the laws of God.
Right, given to Moses.
Written by the hand of God. And given to Moses.
Amen.
Those are the laws that is mutable, unchangeable, and shall forever remain the same.
Amen.
So Moses wrote his own law?
The second laws are the ceremonial laws. Those are the laws of sacrifices that were dictated by God himself to Moses and Aaron about different sacrifices, the peace offering, the sin offering, and all of these offerings were given by God in the Old Testament to Moses and Aaron for the remission of sin. And the Lord told Moses through Daniel and Revelation that these laws will come to an end with the coming of the Lamb of God. So those were the ceremonial sacrificial laws that ended with the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. The third laws are the civil laws, which are the laws of Moses and the elders of Israel. God did not tell them that when a woman sinned, bring her out and destroy her. No. The elders of Israel and Moses and many of the rulers decided how can they govern 2 million people, like the state laws and the federal laws. They had to find laws to really guard the fabric of society within the understanding of the commandments of God. Now remember that. When they came to Jesus and asked him about that later, he told them, "Moses gave you these laws because of the hardness of your heart, but it wasn't so from the beginning." And you can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 22. You can read many of these laws regarding how to deal with a thief, how to deal with an adulterer, how to deal with this and this and that. It is all written in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and Leviticus chapter 20. Lots of horrible laws. And I'm very thankful Jesus came. That's the very reason Jesus came. He did not come to destroy the law of God, but he came to make it what?
Right.
Right. He came to correct even the issue of the Sabbath. The Pharisees had it completely wrong. According to the old laws, you can't walk but a certain distance. You can't turn light. You can't turn fire on. You can't do that. And Jesus said, "Boy, you cumbered the law of God by your traditions." So now they're asking him, according to the laws of Moses, because they wanted to put Jesus at odds with Abraham, Moses, and the prophets to prove to the masses that he is an imposter and he is not the Son of God. That is the very reason why Jesus did not answer that question directly. But as they were speaking, the Bible said, he went down and began to write their sins on the grounds. And they didn't get it the first time. And he went down again, the Bible said, as if he did not hear what they said. And he went down to write their sins again. And the Bible began to say that, woe, the people of the church began to see their sin. They are facing truth for the first time. And they had to deal with it. Rather than confronting truth, what did they do? They ran away from it. Who was the only person that confronted truth?
The woman
that was caught in adultery.
She didn't go to what they told her. She could have went.
She thought that was her last day. And she was ready to be stoned to death. And Jesus, in front of her, said, "Woman, where are those who are ready to condemn you?" She looked up. "They are not here, Lord." He said, "Neither will I condemn you. Go and sin no more." One individual faced the truth and was pardoned, was helped, and was transformed by the love of Jesus present. Now, it's ironic that right after that, the Bible talks of Jesus that he is the light of the world. And in that very sitting, they did not leave him alone. Now, one woman faced the truth and was changed. And she was no longer afraid of anybody. She actually left that place much more righteous than all of these leaders and active members of the synagogue. If we go to church for any other reason but to know the truth about ourselves and about our God, we defeated our purpose. Because many people go to church to be right. To sing in the choir. To be right. So others can tell them how wonderful they are. To preach a sermon. And I know that. Just to be right. To go and do some services in the community. Just to be right. But many others are going to the sanctuary to do right. And to surrender their whole self to Jesus. Now, listen to what happened. I have 20 minutes to show you what happened now to the majority of the people of the church. Now Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is standing right in the midst of them. And now he's trying to declare truth. I want you to look at verse 12 with me quickly, because I'm going to be jumping through the chapter to show you how the people of the church are resisting truth when truth is being spoken. John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Isn't that a relief, Sandra?
Yes, sir.
We are living in darkness. Our sins are darkness, and the sins of the world are darkness. And Jesus said, it is true, the world is full of darkness because of sin, but I am the light of the world. Those of you who will accept me and follow me will not live in darkness, but have the light of life. And all of that is based on how we hear truth and how we respond to truth. You know, there is no condemnation. I cannot condemn any one of you because I'm also a sinner. The Bible said there is no condemnation upon them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And I said this morning that it is the Spirit inside us that will determine what kind of a life we're going to live and how long we're going to live on this earth. Spirit of humility and contrition is the spirit of truth. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Listen now, the Pharisees come again. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Now they are telling the light, the truth, and the life that he is not true. What are they implying?
Wow.
That they are true. And I have attended great many arguments between Christians over doctrine. Everyone is trying to prove he and she is right. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. These words are kind of very puzzling. They never heard someone speak like that.
Yes.
Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. They believe that they are right, therefore they are trying to execute judgment on the woman that got caught in adultery and on everybody else. Because their sins are hidden, they think. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, a Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Are they seeking truth? No. They are not seeking truth. They are seeking someone to convince them that they are true. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Obviously, saying that they were so angered by the power of truth that they wanted him killed. They wanted him eliminated. They wanted the truth to be quenched. They don't want to hear the truth. But the hour of his crucifixion was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Another very formidable warning. Very discreet warning. That the sins inside you, if it is not remitted and confessed and forgiven, it is going to kill you. And where I go, you will not be able to come. This means heaven is not your own. And he is talking to the leaders of the church. That they are really rejecting the truth. But they couldn't understand what he is talking about. Listen to this. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. Look, their understanding has been darkened by the lies within them. And it's worse yet. It got worse and worse when you keep running away from truth. It gets darker and darker and darker around you. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. He's trying to explain to them where he's going. Ye are from this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Another warning. Do you want to die in your sins? Or forgiven of your sins? You know, we live in a very dangerous world. Many people left their home healthy this morning. And some already rested in peace. And some will not be returning back to their home tonight. If we did, it is by the grace and love of Jesus. But if our number is called at any time, how is our heart?
Wow.
Are they surrendered fully to Christ? I am not saying, are we sinless?
No.
No one is sinless. But are they in truth surrendered fully to Jesus? Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. They're still resisting. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak the things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake those words, many believed on him. So even though the leaders of the church and many others did not believe the truth and resisted him, some others who were listening attentively believed on Jesus. And that is the good news. That is the light that often comes out of darkness. Now here is the meat of the message coming up. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to know the truth about myself every day. I want to know the truth about all the decisions I am making. But you know, the truth does not begin with the facts and end in horrible consequences. It only begins in truth and ends in horrible consequences to those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth begins with the facts and ends with freedom if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message that the church missed somehow. We are afraid to face the truth. We are afraid to know the truth. We are afraid to live the truth, fearing the severe consequences. Well, doesn't God already know everything about that? And isn't it wiser to turn the truth as we see it completely to him? You're not aware or not comfortable with the decision you made, with the decision you are about to make, with the events unfolding and the decision you are about to make. If you are not comfortable, the Bible says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Be anxious about nothing. That's truth. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now that the Lord declared truth about your weakness and the pain it is behoving you and the troubles ahead, why don't you turn that the way it is to the Lord Jesus Christ? You're struggling to quit? Turn it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, know the truth. The Bible is loaded with liberating truth. By the commandments is the knowledge of sin. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, I didn't know sin till I knew the commandments. And once I knew the commandments, I felt that I was slaughtered by the law. And he said, I discovered that the law is perfect, is holy, and good, and just. To will is present with me, to do I find not. Who shall rescue me from the body of this death? Praise be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understands that in his human nature, he cannot live the perfect law of God without the grace, mercy, love, and help of Jesus. That is truth. So don't be afraid. You know, so many places in the Bible say, fear thou not. Just always told yourself, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. All the way through. But it is fear that motivates people to run away from the truth. The Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests have lots of stakes. If they believe the truth, then they will have to accept Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. They would lose their status, their authority in the eyes of man, according to their fear. But one of the pictures that was showed in the slides today, Nicodemus was also a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. He was one of those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not have to lose any status. He actually earned a much higher status because he went to inquire of Jesus about the truth. And it is the truth that set him free. It's amazing. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't be afraid to read the Bible. Yes, it will convict you of your sin. You want to get to heaven? You need the right directions. Or do you want someone to lie to you about the direction to heaven? You want to go to Sacramento, the capital of California? You want the right direction. You don't want to get lost in a place where you can get killed. If your goal is heaven, then the Bible will give you the manual to heaven, and that is the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God will show us His way versus the way of sin. That is not scary. That is truth. Also, the Lord will show us in every area where we are weak, His strength will be sufficient, and His grace will be sufficient, and His mercy will be sufficient. And remember, the footprints in the sand. Where were you, Lord? I was carrying you through it all. Because we cannot run that race on our own. We cannot make all the right decisions. But you know, we can choose to make all the wrong decisions and be alone. And the consequences are ours. Or we can make all decisions trusting in Jesus. Jesus said, listen, I am your Savior, I am your Master, and I am the head of the household. If you let me be aware of everything that's going on and ask for my help and my intervention, I will be there. And nothing anyone shall harm you. I shall give you the power to tread over the serpent and the scorpion and all the powers of the enemy through the full armor of God. And nothing in any wise can harm you. So we can trust Jesus over that. He said, know the truth, don't be afraid of it. You know, the truth does not lead me to judge other people. That is exactly what the Pharisees have been doing. They were living a lie. And they thought by being right and pointing fingers at everybody else and their own sins, somehow they are righteous. The truth helped me to know who I am in Jesus and who I can become in and through Jesus. And you know, once we become free in the Spirit, God will use us for the blessings of others. And when we see other people struggling, like that woman or someone else, we will be moved with the compassion of Christ. And we will be moved with the power of the Holy Spirit to extend help and healing. And not to condemn and destroy. That is how we can know whether we have been set free or not. As Andrea said yesterday, and that's what I've been trying to show you, that usually we get angry with those who sin because we refuse to deal with our own. Can you see that in the Pharisees? So angry and ready to kill the woman that was caught in adultery, so they can show themselves more righteous, but Jesus exposed them all. She was liberated, they were not. I want to continue very quickly here. So Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set thee free. They answered him, now the other Pharisees, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Again, they are resisting the truth. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now he's hitting home. Now he's telling them exactly what is going on. If you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. But here is the good news after that. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What do you think of that? If you are hired as a servant to work in a house of a very important man, the owner is not there, but the son is in charge. And you go and steal. Or you go and do something wrong where you are serving. If you don't confess that sin to the son and ask for his forgiveness, he will know about it anyway. And Jesus is saying, if you come and confess your sin to the son, he is able to set you free. Because you came to him. I know some people who stole from food from the stores. And they got arrested. And their court date was set. And they did go to court. And the judge asked them if they have stolen. And they said, yes, Your Honor. And the judge was surprised that the answer of this individual was this. Your Honor, I did not just steal this time.
Whoa.
I stole several times from that store before. And I also stole from other stores.
Wow.
I just got caught this time.
Wow.
And I don't want to give an excuse for why I stole. But he pointed to his kids. He said, these are my kids. And here's the application. I got laid off. I tried to get on food banks and everything. I was left with nothing but to steal to feed my kids. I don't mind you putting me in prison.
Wow.
He said, I want to go to prison if you can take care of my kids.
Wow.
That's why I stole. There was silence in the court.
Well,
he said, I'm not trying to escape justice. I stole and I broke the rules of the land. No one is responsible for my sin. I am willing to go to prison if you please can take care of my kids. Or get me a job and I will restore everything I stolen, not just from this store, but from all the other stores. At that time, the owner of the store was whispering to the attorney. And the attorney asked the judge if he can approach the bench. And the judge asked him to come. And after talking with the judge, he asked the other counselor, the other attorney for the defense, to come in the front. The store decided to drop the charges.
Wow. Mercy.
And the judge said, I never had such a case in my 27 years on the judicial bench. I have the criminal admitting and confessing what he has done and much more. He is telling me that he has stolen from all other stores. And now he's asking to go to prison if I can take care of his kids. Or to get him a job. And he said, the court is in recess.
That's major confession. Wow, it's good.
After he returned back, of course, because the store dropped the charges, there is nothing the judge can do. He said, because of the dropping of the charges, you are set free.
Wow.
But I have already contacted two government agencies.
Oh, wow.
To help you and help your kids.
Wow.
Jesus said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is number one. Number two, he said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And he also said that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in store in glory. He also said that I shall give you a new heart and place a new spirit in you, that ye shall be my children and keep all my commands and value. He also said that my grace will be sufficient for thee, for my strength shall be made powerful in your weakness. All of these promises of God are truth. So let us not give excuses why. No need for it.
Just let it go.
Just let it go. The Lord already knows. He knows about my every sin. And he knows the roots of that sin and how many years it goes back. But that's not an excuse. He knows why I struggle today with all of the sins. And he promised that he is alone my Savior. And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But daily seek him in prayer. Daily seek the living truth. You cannot, because next time you're going to make a mistake, it might be fatal. If you do not spend time in prayer, in his word, and if you don't try to embark every day to keep his word, putting the full armor of God on, listen, it is not that he failed his promise. It is you fail to follow the truth. Amen? So that is where I'm going to be stopping today. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There is power in the word of truth. And because of that, Satan tried throughout every generation to corrupt the truth. Not just that. He tried to curtail it and destroy it. In the 3rd century, during the days of the Roman Emperor Diocletian, he destroyed every Christian that he can. Slaughtered them. The most agonizing death these martyrs have seen. He destroyed every Bible and burned every Bible and made a spectacle of it in every square in Rome. He gloated by saying, Christianity is extinguished to rise no more. The devil used him to think that he can destroy the living words of truth and the light bearers. It's ironic that 5 years later, his successor, the Emperor Constantine, declared Christianity as the prime religion of Rome. And the Bible revived again. Also later on, Voltaire, a very notorious French atheist, during the laissez-faire, said that 50 years from now, there will be no Bible. And it is ironic again that on the 50th year of his death, the Geneva Bible Institute was printing Bibles in the millions in his own home. The devil tried throughout centuries to destroy the truth, to dim the light of the truth. But every time he did, the truth shined even more. But in the last generation, the devil is using a much more successful method, message. A much more successful tool. He is no longer using force. He is no longer using violence. He is no longer burning Bibles. As a matter of fact, the number of Bibles is increasing and the Bible is still the bestseller every year. But he is using the power of desensitization. The more you read it, the less you know. And the more you read it, the less you live it. Read it some more, buy more of them. You're okay. And that is the most dangerous, lethal tool. And then prophecy is saying the day is coming at the end of all of this that there shall be great hunger in the land, not for bread and water, but for the word of God. And they shall run to and fro from the north to the east to find it, and they shall not find it. How are you using the word of truth every day? Are you spending time with the word of God? There will be no Abraham and no man who can tell you what the truth is. What is inside is what will remain. That is the very reason why David cried out and said, I have hid thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And Solomon said, you know, when you find the living word of God, write it and carve it on the tablets of your heart. Not on your walls and not in your emails. It is in your heart where comes the issues of life. So in every decision, in every event, with every man, consult the word of God to see what does it say about it. If you are in the right, ask the Lord to declare his righteousness on your behalf. If you're in the wrong, ask the Lord to have mercy upon you and to save you from the wrong and the consequences that you cannot bear. And I pray that this word of truth will set us free from our sin, from ourselves, from Satan's snares, from the world of destruction, and from the suffering that only Jesus did and can bear on behalf of all sinners. This is my prayer in his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together. Lord, we come to you just as we are, as all the messages that you have miraculously put together in song this morning. It's all about us sinners who are in dire need daily for the saving grace and power of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you take our hearts, as gross, as wicked as it may be, and form it after your own heart of righteousness. Take our mind and transform it by the power of your living truth and by the word of your scripture daily. Take our will in all decisions and conform it with thy blessed and holy will for our lives. As we pray for ourselves, we pray also for our families, our loved ones, and every human being on this earth. Salvation to every soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.